So Bobby, if you'll come, I know you've been doing this and have some things to say to us to help us dip our toes in this water.
Thanks, Todd. Yeah. Well, if there ever can be polar opposites, it's Todd and I. In some ways, Todd's been to seminary and he writes books and graduated from college. High seminary, I went to Modern Day High School and played football. Thank you. Santa Ana, we beat Santa Ana, by the way. And went to college, I just didn't go to class. And never graduated. At 26, I had a powerful experience in the front seat of my 51 pickup truck with my dog Amigo in the back and my surfboard. And Jesus apprehended me, literally. And I've literally never been the same, so... don't go to school to have education. I got more in the last 10 minutes. I probably got more in the last 20 years. I don't know. I just love the sense of God's goodness, you know. And here, you know, Todd says about justice burnout, and here I'm going to talk to you about justice. And so, but I think I'm going to bring a perspective that I think at the end I'll tie it together that I think it's helpful because, I am just so blessed to be here. Thanks, Todd. I love you, man. Love Debbie. Love so many of my friends here. And it's really an honor to be here. So Life Water, it's not Charity Water. That's a different organization, Todd. It's okay, man. I know you're a seminarian and stuff, and that's okay. Life Water, different. But, you know, there are over 600 water organizations, by the way, worldwide. About 300 of them are faith-based. About half of them are. About half of them aren't. And all of them do an incredibly amazing work. So, yeah. So thank you so much for the privilege of being here today. So we can go to the next slide, Daniel. So if you believe like I do that every human being is created in the image and likeness of God, you know that that means that each person has inherent worth and value. And the reality is for 660 million people on the planet Earth today, they lack access to clean water. That's one out of every nine person on the planet to have access to clean, safe water. You know, as a result of that, just when you hear me say these things, this is not a guilt. I want you just to kind of get the gravity of the situation. Because sometimes, again, our worldview, right? We got our Western glasses on. We've got, you know, we live in Orange County, you know. But think about this. Today, as we sit here, 1,600 children are going to die from preventable waterborne diseases. That's one child every 60 seconds. You know, let that sink in for a while. You know what that's the equivalent of? That's the equivalent of four 747s loaded to the brim full of children crashing into the earth every day, and we know how to prevent that. You say, well, Bobby, if this is such a crisis, why aren't we aware of it? Because this dying is happening in far-off corners of the world. It's happening in places that are unreached and underserved places. But the beauty of the gospel is that, you know, God calls us to be a voice for the voiceless, right? We're called to be this advocate of the gospel. We're called, you know, to be his hands and his feet. We're to bear his image as his image bearer, and we're to bear his heart for the very least of these. And so that's what breaks my heart, and I'm sure it engages our hearts as well, that we want to do these acts of justice. Justice, folks, in a very simple definition, is making wrong things right. It's wrong that 1,600 children are dying every day from preventable waterborne diseases. You know, the number one killer of children in Africa is number one is pneumonia. But you know what the number two is? Chronic diarrhea from waterborne diseases. Number three is cholera. Again, a waterborne disease. I was praying the other day, Todd, and I was thinking I'm going to write. I've been doing blogs and vlogs, which is a crazy thing. I've never done that, so you'd be proud of me, by the way. And I came up with this title for this blog. You ready? Jesus Hates Diarrhea. It's a good one, right? Think of John 10:10. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and life more abundant. And you know, but the thief comes to rob and kill and destroy. And that's the whole kingdom dynamic, the good and evil Todd was just talking about, that we can do something about. And so that's the reality. Think about this. 2.5 billion people today, that's billion with a B, don't have access to a toilet. That means, or a latrine. That means open defecation. That's one in every three people on the planet. So that what happens when you have open defecation? I mean, just you let your imagination, that's how germs spread, that's how disease spreads, that's how, so the more you can help people with sanitation as well as hygiene and water, say at Life Water, we just don't do water. Water is like the last thing we do. We come into villages where we bring hope to hard places. We go to places where no one else is serving, in the far off places, far off regions where no one else is going. And we teach, we embed ourselves in the villages and we teach them basic sanitation practices, hygiene practices, and then the last thing we do is build a well. Because 20% of waterborne diseases are cured when you give safe, clean water, but you add sanitation and hygiene and clean water, it goes up to the 95th percentile. See how important that is? Some things that we just so take for granted. You see, water is the easiest thing to do. That just takes money. It's $6,000 to do a well, but to change someone's behavior is difficult. If you've never washed your hands in your whole life, if you've never used a latrine in your life, that anybody here have any bad habits? You know, Daniel's got some good up there. He's got a couple. You know, we all do, right? And transformation takes time, doesn't it? And so we work with people. It's a 2 to 3 year process, even before the water point happens. But we believe in empowering people and giving them hope and dignity. And that's what we do. So if you want to go to the next slide, Daniel. Yeah, our motto, our thing is we're not going to stop till every child has safe water. That's what kind of gets us up in the morning, that causes us, Jesus, I know this is your heart. It's our heart. And we want to serve vulnerable children and families. One of the things that's interesting in Christianity today, in the next slide, about a year and a half ago, I'm sure many of you are familiar with this magazine. Two leading economists, one from Stanford and Berkeley, did a year-long study, and they looked at several interventions in the third world, and they said, what's the most cost-effective way to alleviate poverty? And they looked at these incredible organizations doing incredibly wonderful things, and they came up with this, that the number one way to alleviate poverty, the most cost-effective way, is bringing clean, safe water to rural villages. See, folks, poverty is this downward spiral, right, where you get sick and your children are getting sick, so they can't go to school, and you have to take care of your children, so you are staying home and you can't work on your farm. But all of a sudden, you give people, you know, safe, clean water and sanitation, hygiene, and they're getting better, and they're going to school, and they're getting better jobs, and they're coming back and serving the community, and the folks are working, able to have time to work on their particular plot of land. You see, it's a sustainable model. And it kind of raises people up out of poverty. It's long term, but it really does work. And so this article in Christianity Today mentions Life Water quite a bit. And on the cover, that's one of our projects that we are, one of the countries we work in presently, which is Cambodia. We work in 6 countries, 2 in Southeast Asia, in Cambodia and in Bangladesh, we have programs. And then in Malawi, in the Congo, Uganda, and Ethiopia in Africa. So go to the next slide, Daniel. And all of our programs start with basic things that each and every person in a village can do with the help of a Life Water trainer. So we teach people. We come in, we have what's called our MWASH program, which is our Missional Water Access Sanitation Hygiene. That's written by some really bright people. And it's written, obviously, people are they can't read, so we have to do everything with graphs and pictures and story. And so we weave the story of Jesus through our curriculum. And we teach them how to build their own hand washing devices. We call that a tippy tap. And so you teach them how to build a very simple thing, how to make soap, or if they don't have soap, the material for that, how do you use ash to wash your hands? So very simple, basic things. And we teach them the importance of hygiene. And then we teach them how to build their own latrine. Again, we don't do things for people that they can't do for themselves. There's too much when helping really hurts. When we go in and we enable people instead of empowering people. We believe in empowering people is what we do. So we teach them how to build their own latrine, and people do. We teach them about how to store their water safely, how to build a drying rack. You know, do you think, what do you mean a drying rack? For your dishes, just to bring the dishes up off the ground and teach them how to wash them and allow the sun to decontaminate them and how to contain their animals. And you think, you know, you want to teach them how, why it's important to have a clean compound to keep it free, defecation free, you know, and have a clean, safe village. And when people start doing this, you guys, what happens is, it's so beautiful, they start developing the dignity that poverty has stripped them of. You see, poverty is an evil taskmaster. It beats you down and makes you feel depressed and rejected and thinking, how can God love me? But all of a sudden, you start getting safe water and sanitation. You start grabbing dignity and hope. And, you know, you think, my God does care about me. He does love me. It literally lifts people from that place. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So we're not going to stop every person that has safe water. Then when we do, let me show you the next slide. And then when they do everything they can do what we can do, and we provide the well. And, you know, in Africa, they say, you know, there's no party like a well party. And I've been to several of them where, you know, you cut it. Because usually people now that have walked 1, 2, sometimes 3, 4 hours, and it's mostly the women and young girls that are walking carrying 5-gallon jerry cans. And those jerry cans, you know, water weighs 6 pounds per gallon. So that's 30 gallons. Have you ever carried a 30-gallon container, you know, 2, 3, 4 miles or 4 hours rather walking? I mean, it's incredibly difficult. But now they have a source of clean, safe water right in their village or with their school. And it's an incredibly transformational thing, and people love it, and they celebrate that. Well, let me tell you a story, and this is where I'll end up. I think I'm going to be on time, Todd, too, so I'm proud of me, dude. This wonderful lady, her name is Esnino, and that's her child, Christopher, in the back, and they live in the West Arsi area of southeast Ethiopia. And our CEO, Justin Narducci, he's 34 years old. He's an amazing guy. I love him. He was just recently in Ethiopia, and as he likes to do, we take these baseline surveys, and we go back and make sure. So we're a data-driven organization because we want to be the best that we can be. And he was interviewing several people, and he happened just to meet Esnino. And he said, Esnino, just in a casual conversation, what's been the greatest transformation you've seen or the greatest change since you have, you know, health and hope and your children are doing well? And you're doing well, you have a latrine, and your kids are healthy. And she looked at him, and she kind of stared at him, and she goes, and this is very powerful, she said, I'm no longer afraid, or we're in the village, we're no longer afraid to name our children. And he said, what? He said, yeah, we're no longer afraid, because the mortality rate was so high among the babies dying that they wouldn't, because of their emotional wreck of their heart, they weren't even naming their kids. Now, again, that breaks my heart to hear that. And what do you think it does to the heart of God? You know? And so that's Esnino. And I just love her story. So the last slide is just simply this, is just we are talking about like a partnership, something we can do together, sponsor a well or maybe adopt a village or do something. I love to take Todd and Beth, anybody who wants to come with me to Africa and come check it out. But I was thinking of something, Todd, that really tied your message together. And, you know, and I love Mother Teresa, and I love my Catholic background. And Mother Teresa had an incredible quote. You know, she said, there's very many, many people today that want to do big things for God. But there's very, very few people who want to do small things for God. But she said, therefore, you know, small things done with great love can change the world. And you see, folks, it's not a matter of getting burnt out on justice. It's all of us doing those small things. Hey, loving your neighbor, being nice to that single mom down the street. I mean, it's local, nationally, global. It's being his hands and his feet, right? Because the church today, what, we're more known for what we're against than what we're for. And we're for the lost. We're for those that are on the margins. We're for the broken. We're for those that don't have clean, safe water. This should be the passion of the church. And one thing I love about Todd's organization that Todd, you don't know this, I always sign my letters or my emails for years for others. And when I saw that Todd named his thing is for the sake of others, I thought, oh my gosh, that's it. See, folks, we exist to live and die for bigger things than ourselves. And that's the beauty that keeps us going. Each one of us can encourage each other and just, we can be nice, we can smile once in a while. Hey, there's a huge justice thing, right? We can be kind, we can be generous. And this is what makes a difference. And so my prayer, my heart is that we would have a partnership and a friendship. We can work together to mobilize the church outward to make a difference locally, nationally, and globally. And so thank you so much for the opportunity to come and share, to be a part of this family, to see my friends. And I am just so proud of you, Todd, and what you've done, and Debbie, and what you've done here at the church. And love you guys, and I'm so appreciative of the opportunity. Thank you.
Geez, you could go somewhere and be somebody if you just had a little more energy. This is why Modern Day beat Santa Ana in football right there. It's that level of energy.